Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by the good folks at WynnBET. That's WYNNBET. I'm Jeff Erickson. My guest today is the great Bob Harris. You can follow him on Twitter at football at diehard, football diehard. God, I'm on a roll already. He's been doing this for even longer than I have, and I've been doing this a really long time. He's an FSWA Hall of Famer. You can hear him on SiriusXM Fantasy, I think, 17 times a week. You see him in a lot of different places. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. It seems like 17,000 times a week, but yeah. And I apologize for that, everybody.
No, I feel the same way. I had overexposure day last week. You know, it's like, oh, okay, fine. I've got five different podcasts.
I get my Saturday and Sunday show. So I was going to reach out for you as a guest this past weekend. I'm going, man, he's on earlier in the day. He doesn't want to come on and do a guest spot, crying out loud.
I always will. Always. Especially for you.
All right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, some little news and notes first. Training camp, we're always getting some stuff. DJ Chark had the finger issue. He's had that repaired real quick. They say he'll be ready for week one. It's a hairline fracture. He's already gotten surgery to repair it. Now, Urban Meyer, when he came on board, he was kind of harsh about G.J. Chark's season last year.
He didn't play up to his size. Said he's a big player who played smaller than he was. I thought Chark responded to that well, though. You know, said, I need to. And he, by the way, got bigger. But also, you know, just I like the way he took the hard coaching. He accepted it. He, you know, didn't whine about it or anything. So, I was impressed with that. Hopefully he, you know, hate to see guys missing out time, especially with a rookie quarterback coming in, establishing chemistry. I keep hearing good things about Marvin Jones. That's the guy I'm drafting there because he's wide receiver 50 plus. Right. And so, I want that free portion of that of that receiving core. I think LaVisca Chenault is going ahead of him as well. And, you know, it's easy to forget that Jones knows this offense, or at least the Daryl Bevell portion of it, having played Detroit last year. So
that's a good call. And Chark is wide receiver 33 in the NFFC in the last 8 days since August 1st. That will probably change a little bit. Chenault's 38. And like you said, Marvin Jones, 55. He's free. A lot of times when you get the three-way battle, you take the cheap guy is always the argument. And we've got some really good three ways. You're in Dallas now. The Cowboys have one there with CeeDee Lamb, who everybody loves, Amari Cooper, who everyone says they don't love, but then they still take him anyhow. And then, of course, Michael Gallup, who's on the last year of his rookie contract and didn't get the extension.
Yeah, same. Sounds like they're going to let this play out and move on from there and see where things stand. I mean, who knows? Cooper, there's been trade talk of him in the past, and so maybe he's the one who ends up moving on in the end. But I'm kind of okay investing in any of these guys. I tend not to get the higher end because I'm looking at other receivers at that point. And it's not hard. I mean, I think the community in general seems to be, ahead on Lamb right now. And I'm fine with that. I just don't seem to get him where he's going. Somebody's snagging him a little before I'm interested. So, look, I love Dak Prescott. I'd rather have that piece of the Dallas offense.
Yeah, and there's the other complication, too, is Dak's not throwing right now. I hurt his shoulder. They say he'll be ready for week one, and I'd like to see him play a little bit, but again, I'm not going to physically see him play because he's not going to play any preseason, I would bet. Just like a lot of teams
throwing in practice, just like to see him getting some, you know, full action and able to cut loose with the passing before the season starts would be great, or before I invest any more heavily than I already am.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you play in a, I think the scientific estimate is a gazillion leagues. How do you manage? How do you keep, because I know I play in a lot of leagues and I know you play in more than I do.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, football diehards, we have a tool just like everyone else, my fantasy GM, where, you know, pulls in all your leagues from around, you know, the various platforms and gives you a little help and assistance managing them, offering advice and, you know, pointing out who's available, who's not available. It's a struggle, though. I mean, even at that, you know, you know, the grind we do in the season. I mean, your focus, you know, my job is not winning leagues. My job is helping my subscribers win leagues. Right. So I want to win leagues. I'm not always first guy on the waiver wire because I play in a lot of leagues with Mike Dempsey and he's always the first guy on the waiver wire. But no, you grind along and you do the best you can. And I think a lot of this for me, I need to draft well, and I think I usually do, but I need a lot of things to go my way. And that is rarely the case, right? In any fantasy league. So you've got to be ready. You do the best you can. The management aspect of it is a hassle. I tend to focus. There are certain leagues I give more attention than other leagues. You know, we're all in some of those leagues, the relegation leagues where maybe you get moved to a different division or whatever. You pay a little more attention to some of the more competitive ones that were in the industry. You want to get in there and give it a little more of a battle. And you just kind of got to, you kind of got to manage your time. And I think I spend about usually every Tuesday night, about 3 hours going through all my lineups, seeing what I need in terms of free agents, trying to, you know, acquire the free agents I need. So it's a bit of a time suck, but you know, the drafting is to me, you know, this time of year, and that's what best ball has kind of liberated us a fair amount. Right. So I can be in 100, you know, I can draft 100 times literally and not have to manage all those teams. But I think this time of year and also in season, you know, you're taking calls on Sirius, you're dealing with your subscribers, doing live chats, things like this. And and the more decisions you're making, the more helpful you can be. Right. So when you're making all those same lineup decisions that all your readers and listeners are making, it's helpful to have gone through those and given them some thought and maybe made some of the actual decisions and put yourself on the line a little bit. And I think, you know, look, the audience knows exactly what's going on. So you're not buying any credibility, but I think it would be a little helpful to them to know, oh, look, he's made this decision. Right. And I mean, in terms of drafts, I don't know what decision I haven't made. Right. I mean, and we get the benefit of drafting all these multiple drafts, Jeff, you know, this, like, you know, if I'm in one draft, I'm not drafting the same way I am in my 100th draft, right? Because I drafted that one way. So we have a lot of room and leeway to experiment and try different things. I know I just did a draft. We're talking about injuries and news of the day. Saquon Barkley coming off the PUP list, it sounds like. There was a draft the other day. One of the things that I harp on, and I know we've been doing this a long time, is, you know, getting caught up in the minute by minute, you know, the Twitter world, this news is coming in, right? And we tend to overreact, and our league mates tend to overreact because that's what we do. Wow, look, there's the thing. I can gain a little advantage. I'm always looking for the other advantage. The other day I drafted Barkley and Jonathan Taylor at the 1-2 turn, right? I got them 12 and 13. Why is that? It was because the news of the moment, right? The reporting on Barkley that day was he might be not be back until week 3. He might not. Right. I don't know this, but you know, in my 100th league, I can say, wow, I'm going to take a chance on this one. And then you see Jonathan Taylor down. Look, I get it. The quarterback situation is not going to be ideal to open the season. I don't think Quentin Nelson, I think that news moved things too. You know, the combination.
Oh, I think that's the bigger almost.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's kind of a zone blocking scheme. I'm not going to panic. So I figure, you know, investing at that, you know, I'm all in on Taylor, investing at a cheaper price, I thought was fantastic. And so, you know, as you're looking at these news at tidbits, and I'm not saying they're meaningless, right? They are worthwhile, and you should be making adjustments based on them, but you should be making those adjustments in the context of the entire offseason, right? I always look at the entire year as like a big line of data, and you're plugging pieces in, and no one piece should define what you're doing unless it brings resolution, unless it's a season-ending injury or something similar to that. I mean, it's all either A, adding to value, or B, giving me a discount. I love the discount portion of this, right? I love when people run away from a situation based on a momentary piece of news that I think is not going to matter in 2 weeks, right? So Those are the things we're trying to look at this time of year. And a lot of this injury news, the things we're hearing right now, these are the things I'm looking to use to leverage into a little bit of an advantage. Just a little bit.
So many of those things that you said resonate with me, especially like starting with playing in all the leagues to begin with, because it's just having to make those decisions so we can help other people make those decisions. Love playing in the variety of type of leagues that we play in.
Right.
Both football and baseball is that way for me. And I know you're a football diehard, so I know it's all football for you. But, you know, it's, for me especially, it's crazy this time of year. But, you know, it's really you can give a lot better advice if you've been there before, if you've done that.
Right.
I'm trying to find more dynasty. I'm trying to find – like, I want to get into a guillotine league this year. Yes. We just got a dog. We've had a live appearance from mine just recently too. It's so funny, but I love the other thing that you do is that you do on Tuesday night. You do that when you kind of prepare because we all play on different platforms. Whether you know, Yahoo runs those Tuesday night fab runs and you got to do that for them. So I like that you start that process then, because that's one of the trickiest things.
I think you almost have to, you know. I'm sorry about this, Jeff. This is a whole new experience for I moved in on a dog, so
yes,
he's getting used to this. So I apologize for that. But I think that's, you know, having that process in place where you're sitting there, and I have to have the process, right? Because you're trying to maximize your time. So every week, same time, go through the process. And then you're sitting there, and when you're taking the calls on the radio the next day and doing all the things you need to do, you're prepared. You've heard it all before.
Exactly right. Quick note from our sponsor, WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, Bob. Let's talk about him real quick. Yeah. I was down on him at least at his early ADP, which was 4 or 5. And then he started slipping a little bit with, he's going to be on the pup list to start the season. He might not play in week 1. And I almost saw the pendulum swing too far, where I see him go like middle of the second round.
Yeah, that was what I did this weekend. I'm just thinking, okay, this is the peak of the bad news. It was the Ian Rappaport report, you know, and I thought he, you know, got to be careful when you hear these reports. I mean, he framed it well. No one would be surprised if he's back week 1. They're not putting that out of the picture. But I mean, when you think about that, we all know what that means, you know, for us as fantasy managers. He's back week 1. Is he going to have a full workload? Probably not. They're going to ease him back in and move him along. And, you know, looking at the number of backs they have behind him, and they all have kind of specific roles, right? I mean, I think Devontae Booker, maybe the every down back, just talking to people on the ground watching. Corey Clement seems to be gaining ground as a third down guy. Alfred Morris did really well on third downs last year as well. So they have the body. I mean, you know, don't draft any of those guys, everybody. I mean, unless you get Barkley and you're looking for the handcuff, it's probably Booker. But you know, when you know the team has those players and you know that their intention is not to push Barkley, right? They're looking at this in the long term as well. And I talk about that line of data. That line of data extends back through last season and beyond and through the coming seasons and beyond, right? For as far as the team is concerned. So keep that in mind, what their desires are. And you know this as well as I do. I mean, what the team wants isn't always what happens, but it's what they want. So I mean, it's a pretty good starting point to start plotting your strategy around their desired outcomes, you know, whether they happen or not. A lot of that depends on developments on the field, what the player responding and the way they expect them to respond, the pieces around him working, and all these things. We know it's a complicated thing. It's trigonometry, right? It's like all these things happening at once. But when you know the desired outcome, and I think that's one of the things that I focus on is coaching, you know. The NFL every week is a new thing, right? There's a new game plan and a trip or a team coming in. You're preparing for different things. NFL coaches love consistency. So they're battling to have this level of consistency going up against this sea of constant change, right? So if you understand what their desires are, a lot of times you can help you understand what anticipated roles are, things like that. Like, you know, we all know coaches are innovative. They're coming up with different things and different twists all the time. But that basic premise that a coach wants to keep some consistency there and some levels of you know, that helps the team, gives that team his team a comfort level. If you know what those are and you're leveraging those a little bit. So when you hear what we're hearing about Barkley, and it's been pretty consistently reported, they're going to be very cautious with this. It makes right. sense. He's a young player. He's one of the most dynamic players in the league when he's healthy. My concerns extend a little beyond that because I don't think we've seen him be that dynamic player the last couple of times we saw him play healthy, right? It seemed like it was a bit of a struggle. Could that have been with the offensive line? Could it be that there's a new offense? Yes, all those things entirely possible. Also, he was coming off previous injuries, and so, you know, you know, there's a lot of complications here. So I understood going in before we got this latest news why he was slipping down, because he had slipped down for me. I just felt more comfortable with other players and where they're at, you know, in their timelines and in their respective positions. So I was kind of down on him as well, but then there comes a point where you're going, man, it's too much. Everyone's gone too far, right? And so
right.
it's the same way I feel in best balls when I've drafted, you know, I mean, like, am I going to draft Christian McCaffrey almost every time I get a first round pick? Sure. But on the 13th or 14th, you're going, maybe I'll shake it up a little bit, right?
Same thing with Barkley.
It gets to the point where, wow, I'm super underweight on him. Maybe this is the point where I can, you know, take that discount and leverage it a little bit and see if I can't get something out of it.
Are there players that you just cross off that, and I'm not talking about like Devontae Booker crossing off. I'm talking about players that people are drafting in the first, second, third, fourth rounds. Are there players that you're just like, I'm not interested. I don't care if he slips around. I'm just not taking him.
I mean, I'm interested in everyone at the right price. That said, the right price for me is often, you know, not the right price, right? So that would happen more than crossing guys off, right? Like I'm just not paying that price for somebody. And there's plenty of those.
Sure.
Like endless amounts of those. I'll come across them all the time. That doesn't mean I don't have those players and I don't end up with some. Sometimes I make a conscious effort to like say, hey, I don't have any of this guy. I should get some. But like, I don't need to force the issue. Like, let's say Miles Sanders, right? There's a player that, and I get pushback from this every time I bring it up with the Eagles beat writer, but just looks to me like they don't like him as much as everyone else does, right? The Eagles seem to not see him like we as a fantasy community see him, or observers, reporters see him, you know, and look, I go back to last year, that Saints game where he and Jalen Hurts both ran for 100 yards and against a defense that hadn't given up 100 yards rushing in forever. And I think back to when, you know, there were a number of receivers hurt and he was the top downfield receiving threat. I mean, he has these skills, yet somehow, and maybe the new coaching staff, this changes, but there's a whole range of running backs in that knot right there, right? You know, that fourth round, late third through early fifth round knot. There's just other guys I like better in that same range. I'd rather have Josh Jacobs at that same price point. I'd rather have David Montgomery at that same price point. So I'm just not getting a lot of Miles Sanders, and I'm okay with that. And like DeAndre Swift was another one who I felt, you know, maybe fell a little too far. He's risen back up. And he's risen back up to the point where probably not going to get that much of him. I don't think he's probably a bad player. And I think maybe the comments by Anthony Lynn were overblown. You know, I have an A running back and I have a B running back. Jamal Williams is my prototypical A. Okay. Well, if that's true, Austin Eckler is a prototypical B, right? In Anthony Lynn's term, and he has fared really, really well. So I think maybe DeAndre Swift could be that prototypical B running back and be super productive from a fantasy perspective. But there are other issues right with him dating back to last year. The concussion, there's a little mystery surrounding that and the slow return.
Yeah, that's right.
Something. And so, you know, I'm just not all in at the price tag. So I think that's more how guys rule themselves off out of my teams, is more by pricing than by me saying, oh, I hate that guy. Even if I hate him, I don't hate him if the price is right.
Right. And that brings up another point too. We have our evaluation of the players, right? But it's still dependent on the coaches, you know, and how many times do we say, oh, these coaches are idiots. They don't see the upside in this guy that I see. And, you know, that conceit prevents us from doing well in fantasy leagues because we think about what should happen as opposed to what's really going to happen.
Right. And so we could think back to any number of players. And, you know, I mean, you think of the Adam Gase coaching, but was it? Lamar Miller never got the full workload, or Kenyon Drake never got the full workload, right? In Miami. Yeah. And then, you know, you're thinking, damn it, if only they would give him the ball like I want them to. So here's what I try to remind myself every time I think about how the team is not treating somebody the way I think they need to be treated. And we should all view this as they're around them like 12 hours a day. They see them every single day. They watch them practice every single day. They're seeing things we don't, right? We're hearing things. And so I always think about something, you know, beat writers are fantastic assets for all of us, right? They're eyes on the ground. They also, you know, form opinions, right? And they also kind of follow a narrative at times. And if they've been, you know, if there's a player they like, they're going to kind of follow that narrative as long as they can, right? And maybe, I'm not saying that they're not being objective reporters, but it's just natural. I know Peter King wrote a big piece about this once, you know, do reporters root for teams? No, they root for their stories.
Yes.
So if you've been reporting that someone is going to be a breakout or someone's doing great, you're liable to try to see it through that perspective. I know I do. I mean, I'm like, wow, I've been pushing this guy. I think that's the most important thing for me as a, you know, in my job and as a fantasy player. Be ready to bail from your narrative, man. If it's not happening, it's not happening. Let it go. Move right on to the next thing. And you know, or understand why your narrative isn't following through. Say, okay, I need to dial back on this player right now. Don't need to release him. Just need to be patient or whatever. We do this. We deal with this early every season, right? Is it time to bail on so-and-so? Well, you know, these are all personal decisions. I tend to wait a little longer because I have a lot of faith in my evaluations, right?
Right.
Can that cost me? Yes. If I'm ultimately wrong, it does. So, you know, we all have our different risk tolerance levels, aggressive levels of aggression, and the kinds of moves we like to make or how quickly we like to make moves. So there is no set answer. Like, how long should I hold on to this guy? He's not good. You know, that's kind of, it's your team. You kind of, there's some decisions you have to make, right? I'll try to give you the information you need to make that. And like I said, I tend to have a little more faith in my evaluations because why? I look at, try to look at the big picture, and I'm looking back beyond this offseason and into next season. You're trying to look at that full set of data and not make the decisions based on, wow, this was a lousy week and he didn't get enough carries and I really expected more. Okay, well, maybe we need to see why that was before we just assume that's what it's going to be forever. And it's something else, Jeff. I'll point to Rob Gronkowski last year as a prime example. Even the Bucs in general, right?
Right.
What somebody is today is not what they're going to be in 3 weeks, right? Rob Gronkowski was out of shape and not up to speed, you know, early in the season. You say the same about Antonio Brown, and then here they are, you know, at the point when you need them the most, they're being heavy contributors. So, you know, I'm just using that as one example, not to promote a single player, but just to promote the idea. Okay, this is what it is this week. This is not a permanent condition, right? Both positive and negative. It's not permanent. This is going to change week to week, and you have to be ready to deal with that.
I super good advice there. I 100% agree with that. I think that's really important to remember that. Before we move on, I want to get to know more about Bob Harris. We have to share a note from our friends at Dynasty Owner. Are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues that get canceled after a year or so? If so, Dynasty Owner has your back. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming now. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL player salaries for diehard fantasy football fans that want the real GM experience. Dynasty Owner adds a whole new level of strategy. Are you worried you won't be able to find anyone to play your league? Don't worry. Dynasty Owner can help you fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself. You won't have to worry about finding enough players. You can choose to start a league, join an existing league, or purchase a team from a previous owner. If you're serious about joining the big leagues, go to DynastyOwner.com/RotoWire and start your dynasty today. We had Tim Peffer on from Dynasty Owner a couple weeks ago. Really good product. Really fun talk about dynasty games. My guest today is Bob Harris. You find him at Football Diehard. Football Diehards is the website. You can hear him on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio every single day, practically. At least it seems like it, and especially with Mike Dempsey. And I love hearing you guys banter back and forth, Bob. I think you guys have developed such a great chemistry over the years. It's really fun working, listening to you guys. When you have a co-host that you've been working with for a long time, it's fun to kind of get into that rhythm.
It really is. And I mean, like, I kind of feel the same working with Michael Fabiano. We've known each other back to what, into the 90s, you know, so you know, you have a pretty good feel. We compete against each other. I'll say this for Dempsey. He is, you know, we hear he's very competitive. Dempsey's insanely competitive. And like, you know, in the industry leagues where maybe we're a little more forgiving or we're willing to, you know, like, oh, wow, this guy was caught up in another draft. Don't worry, roll back the clock, whatever. Or, you know, I mean, it's just like the intensity level is there. And the trade offers in Dynasty in particular with Dempsey are copious. The trade offers from Fabiano are copious as well in all formats. But and that's something, you know, I'm not as proactive about just because of the volume, right? But it is good to have that guy in your league, right? Just the guy always stirring the pot, looking to, you know, looking to find a little, gain a little purchase, gain a little ground, and kind of can spur you into thinking, oh, wow, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I should go make an offer to somebody else that I like based on this. So, but yeah, the working with Dempsey has been one of the problems we have. I think we single-handedly every year push up the ADP of somebody because we're in so many drafts together and we talk ourselves into some of the same players. And so, you know, I think just I think yesterday there was one where Damian Harris is a guy that's growing on me, right? Just as a clear path to workload guy. We don't see that in New England very much, right? But when we have, it's been pretty good. I kind of see that momentum building towards that. So I'm starting to invest in Harris. It's a reasonable price. Dempsey also is starting to invest. So like, you know, last night I'm in a draft and we're on the air and I look and I see him. He just took Damian Harris, you know, and that's how it begins. You know, guys will start going up. I think Michael Carter is one of those guys we've done that to as well so far this year. Every year it's somebody. We just we start racing to get them. And
you start – how often do you play against each other?
Tons. I mean, we're in probably 75% of the best balls I'm in, he's in. We do a lot associated with the shows, a lot associated with the website, footballdiehards.com website right now, where we have a best ball championship. So – We're in a lot of leagues and a lot of the playthrough leagues. You know, some of our dynasty, we're in a super, super dynasty league. 20, very deep, 50 man rosters, full IDP. I mean, the whole nine yards. So, so some of those leagues are very competitive as well, and we're in a number of those together as well. Dynasty, Dempsey loves the dynasty. I am like a relative newcomer to dynasty. It's only been about 5 years or so. You know, that I've really started really getting into it and I'm enjoying it immensely. And, you know, the same with IDP. I mean, you know, as you said it earlier, you know, the more formats you're in, I think we're all getting more into the super flex. I mean, I think that's pretty much become everybody's favorite.
Format. Same here.
It's mine. You just love it. You know, it just adds that, you know, it brings the quarterback value a little more into line with what it should be. Right. So I just think all those things, and I think we see it in the Scott Fish bowls every year, Scott Fish pushing the envelope to kind of tweak the rules and kind of bring in some new ideas and freshen things up every year. And I think a lot of those ideas end up moving on and migrating into other leagues that I'm in. I think that's great as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Superflex is my favorite. Although, and like you said, I'm getting into a dynasty league. I've got the guy that runs mine is a former Major League Baseball pitcher, Brad Ziegler. And even when he was still playing, he was running this league. I get, you know, his game has started and I get a trade offer from like, Brad, your game's going on right now, but he's a reliever. So he doesn't
baseball, have the baseball guys are nuts about this, man.
Oh, they totally are. They're great. About
fantasy football.
Yeah. It's really awesome to see. If you had to narrow it down, and I know this is a stupid hypothetical, but I'm going to do it anyhow. What's the one, if you could only play one league, what sort of format would it be?
It would be best ball. Cause I could draft all day long. And I, again, you know, the hubris of me, I always say every draft, and it's a kind of an ongoing joke between me and Jeff, best draft ever, right? You know, so I always love my drafts. I mean, you know, we all have those clunkers and stuff, but I love, you know, the drafting portion of all this more so than the management. Just, you know, part of it is just the nature of the job. You're so busy, you don't get to sit back and really enjoy all the aspects as much as you do as drafting. So it'd be best ball. But beyond that, just like, you know, regular formats, I think it would be, you know, Dynasty Superflex is becoming a really fun thing for me.
That's awesome. How important is stacking in best ball?
More important for other people than for me. I mean, I try to do it, but probably end up doing it more with the cheaper components than the more expensive components. So, you know, there's a couple schools of thoughts, and Dempsey has a great thought on this. You know, you're late in the game and you've invested in Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill somehow in some imaginary world, right?
Right.
You know, there's more realistic ones. But let's say that, so the Chiefs are off the field and it's a crucial moment and the other team is driving and the defense can't stop them. You're not getting any points, right? And the same with like in game, like say, you know, in daily, I mean, you're stacking all the time. What's more frustrating than, you know, that team throwing a clunker that week that you've stacked? I mean, and it happens. So, and it happens in season long as well. So that's the only argument really against it is I just hate putting pinning my hopes on a single team, I'd like to diversify a little more. So when I do end up stacking, it ends up being usually a quarterback with a cheaper component as a receiving game, maybe a cheaper tight end or cheaper wide receiver. And I look for the Buccaneers right now, that cheaper wide receiver might be Antonio Brown, who's pretty reasonably priced, right? So, and I see situations like that where, you know, I'm picking between Godwin and Mike Evans early in the draft. I'm saying, nah, I'll just wait and get wide receiver 45 or whatever. And his name is Antonio Brown, and I'll be fine with that. So I think that's more the direction I'm taking stacking. I see people do it, and I see people do it successfully. I think it's just a little bit of a battle of nerves for me.
I understood. And I don't do a whole lot of it in non-best ball leagues, but even in best ball, like I often find the cheaper quarterback that has the upside that could take that next step, pair him with an elite receiver. And that's the way I like to do it. Yeah. My favorite one was Scott Mitchell on the Lions way back in the day. I also included Sanders in that stack, but man, that was such a good offense. That one, you know, Herman Moore and Perriman. Oh my gosh. Scott Mitchell was good for like a year and a half, but I was on that rocket ship.
It was
and
very was good, though. I mean, it was very good. It wasn't just good. He was super. And that whole offense, you know, every piece, all three receivers were reasonable assets. And, of course, Barry Sanders was as well.
Yeah, and it helps that the Lions' defense was terrible that year, too. So it was just a ticket to the carnival. Every game was just a shootout.
Always looking for the lousy defenses. One of the things you like about that, because the Cowboys' defense going to get better? Sure. It's a low bar. I mean, it's going to get kind of better. And they invested heavily in it. Maybe it'll be a market improvement. Even at that, they were so horrible last year. I think it's still going to be a bit of a slog. And the Lions are in the same boat again this year as well. So, I mean, I'm always looking for a lousy defense with some decent offensive plays on the other side.
Yeah, so looking at that Lions team, though, I mean, just the offense, I'm having a hard time finding that buy-in on the receiving core. I mean, I'm all over Hawkinson. I think everybody's all over Hawkinson. Yep. But the receiving core, I know Cephas might be running with like fifth string lately is what I've seen. A note on that. Everyone loved him for about 12 seconds. You talked about the Twitter, the news cycle there on Twitter, but I don't know. I haven't found that go-to on that offense just yet.
Tyrell Williams at wide receiver 85 is pretty damn appealing to me. Talking to beat writers there on the regular, all of them seem to believe he'll be the wide receiver one. And I think there's, you know, something to hang your hat on there in the, you know, the history with Anthony Lynn. And
that's a good point.
He's been a decent player, right? I mean, he was decent with the Chargers when Lynn was there, went on, you know, there. And for a period with the Raiders, I mean, he kind of carried that receiving core. He was pretty much the only wide receiver, but he was ended up with the foot issue and that slowed him down, kept him from making a full season contribution. So there, you know, at receiver 85, I can tell myself a pretty happy story pretty easily on a guy. Especially in a receiving core where there's just not much there. Like, is Rashad Perriman's, you know, family legacy going to carry him to suddenly new heights? I mean, I liked what I've seen of him, you know, when he was healthy the last couple of years. I think it's looked pretty good, but, you know, the consistent week-to-week production I haven't seen. I have seen a little signs of that, at least from Williams. And again, you know, you're talking about wide receiver 85. It's not an expensive investment. You can move on if it's not working out.
Another down ballot guy that's got some news, the New England tight ends, Hunter Henry, got a question even in the chat about that one. You know, hurt his shoulder. They're optimistic an MRI won't reveal anything. I don't know how you'd be optimistic about an MRI, but I don't know. But and you want to ask, what does that mean for Jonnu Smith? What does it mean, you know, with two tight ends that are both rosterable, you know, but neither of them are you're really super excited to draft. Does this change the equation a little bit for Smith?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, we'll see how long it's good. Sounds like it'll cost him some time, you know, this month and maybe not much beyond that. The Patriots turns out have a reasonable history of using two tight ends at one time. And
that's true. That's where,
they spent a lot of money on these two. You could, you know, one argument is, okay, they went after Jonnu Smith first. So he's the guy in general, but they ended up getting about the same amount of money. And it wasn't like Hunter Henry wasn't on the list. It's just how the things played out. If you talk to people who cover the team on the daily, they'll kind of suggest, yeah, that's kind of, you know, don't put too much into the fact that Smith went first. And you've heard Bill Belichick say really glowing things about both of them, and they kind of will fill different roles, I believe. But it doesn't bump them up too much for me. I do think the tight end is going to be, you know, assuming Cam Newton is a starter there, is going to be probably heavily utilized. I don't know how much week two from last year where Cam Newton we're going to see the brief glimpse against the Seahawks where he was zinging it down the field and making big plays with his arm. I don't know. You know, we haven't seen that consistently from Cam Newton since his days in Carolina, since the days of the shoulder surgery, right? We haven't really seen him consistently get the the ball down the field. So I have some concerns about that. If that's the case, the tight ends are going to be some value. I think the prices are right on both these guys, but I tend to miss out on them because if I'm not getting the high end, you know, that top two tiers, and maybe down through Hawkinson, you know, and maybe starting to include a little Pitts, you know, I don't want to be skeptical about it because I think he's a unique talent and I think I'll use him in different ways. So I think looking at him as just a tight end might, you know, might be costing me a little bit. So I've been so underweight on him recent best balls I've started investing. But I think beyond that, I just skip the middle tier and I take flyers on the late round guys, you know? So, and I mean, Adam Trautman is rising up the ranks a little bit with Michael Thomas's injury, but there are a number of guys. Irv Smith has started to rise up with some recent reporting. But I think once I kind of, and I think he's going probably higher than Smith and Hunter Henry anyway now. So I just think I'm kind of either getting in early and that's been the bulk of it, or I'm punting completely and taking flyers very late. Like Eric Ebron's what, tight end 26 right now. I could probably live with that and, you know, move on if it's not working.
There you go. I like it. I like it there. And you know, I've heard that advice. I think it's good advice. Either go big or go home, basically, on that on tight end position.
And mostly go big. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, Travis Kelce has no business making it out of the first round. In most drafts, even, you know, whether you're tight end premium or not. I mean, no, you know, season-long fantasy is still a weekly game, right? It's still in like daily. You have to win the weekly battles, and nobody, you know, Darren Waller's closing in on him, but nobody gives you that weekly leverage at a single position more than Travis Kelce does.
I argue with this with Liss a lot. If you know, I don't feel like you have to force the running back at the end of the first round, and certainly early second round, I'm there for that. I actually got this is a standard league, not a PPR league, where I got him at the end of the second round. And this talk, him being Travis Kelce, I was able to get him a few times, and yeah, I'm there for that. I think in a salary cap league, I'm there for that with him. Yeah, I think often the top tight ends are underpriced in a salary cap format.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's, you know, it's positional scarcity, or at least high end value of positional scarcity. You know, it's a narrow tier. There's the Travis Kelce, Darren Waller tier to me. And then you skip down and look, George Kittle can move up into that tier, right? We've seen him be that guy. The yards after catch can be phenomenal. I just see the other receiving assets starting to, you know, gain a little momentum there. I'm big on Brandon Ayuk. So, and Kittle has to stay healthy, but he still leads that next tier, right? Which is him, you, however you view them, him, Mark Andrews, TJ Hawkinson. I think Kyle Pitts has moved into that tier, whether he deserves to or not. I mean, that's the price you're paying for him. And at this point, I don't think it's unreasonable because, again, you can go back and punt on the rest of that position, come back with the tight end too, that you can at least feel confident in the role.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I have a lot of Andrews and I have some Hawkinson.
I have a lot of Andrews.
Yeah. Because he always seems to be the guy that falls a little bit in that team a little bit because everyone wants a shiny toy in Pitts. And so well, I'll take Andrews then. That's fine.
Only seven players have more touchdown catches over the last 2 years than Mark Andrews.
Right. That's a great stat. And I actually get a little bit of Lamar too. So for what it's worth, pair those two together is awfully nice. Quick note from our friends at Otternew. Otternew Fantasy Football lets you build your fantasy football dynasty like it's a real GM. It's better fantasy football, auction-based, deep rosters, college player prospects. Stash the next rookie of the year while he's still tearing up Saturdays. Trade for superstars to make a championship push. Develop a team over multiple years. Play against the best fantasy football competition on the internet. Visit otternew.com today. It's OTTONEU.com today. My guest is Bob Harris from Football Outsiders. Bob, when did you guys start up Football Outsiders? I know you've been in this business for a long time, but let's hear the story. How did you get into the industry? How did your company start? Tell us about you guys.
I'm going to correct you and say Football Diehards, although Football Outsiders.
I'm so sorry, Bob.
That's okay. That's
all right. I'm having a morning, guys. Sorry. Football Diehards. Too bad this is live.
Not a problem, man. So Football Diehards kind of came out of a combination of things. I had started a website early on in all this when there was just a handful of people out there doing it called TFL Report. I started doing some work for fantasy sports publications, Emil Cadillac, magazine business.
Yeah,
kind of came together, and I ended up starting working for him full time in 1996. And so, you know, the idea was, look, we know the limitations of magazines, and, you know, we're still doing the magazines, Pro Forecast, 30 second straight year of publications out there. We have three other titles, the Draft Book, Pro Football Diehards Magazine, and Cheat Sheets Magazine. But we kind of wanted to use the website, to leverage, look, we understand it's a snapshot in time, a magazine, right? So,
right.
If you buy a magazine, we started giving you free access to the website so you could update rankings, all those things. And eventually we just turned that into the Football Diehards, came up with a single site for all the magazines. And now there's a magazine that's directly associated with it. But that's kind of been the genesis. And I think that's been, kind of key. I was getting into this, like, wow, magazine's kind of a sunset business. It turns out it's not. we still have a million copies out on newsstands, or nearly a million copies every year. And so
that's amazing.
And so the key to that, though, is, over time coming to understand, again, you're out there in the world, that you're talking to people, they're telling you what your shortcomings are, right? It pays to listen to them. And so we always have tried to listen to the readers. And so, with the articles and content, you guys have done magazines. I mean, you try to be a little more evergreen, go a little more on strategy and a little less focus on the players. You have to have player information in there. You have to have rankings in there. But if you can provide a way for those rankings to be updated, you're going to be very happy after, whatever happens that happens, right? Like this year, the Julio Jones. I mean, we ended up getting that in all the magazines, but it was a last 6 hours of one magazine to make all the changes, over time you get experience with that. Something is up, players to watch, you have everything marked, you have changes already made in advance, ready to plug in. And so, you kind of mitigate things, but that's kind of the genesis of that was, having an electronic site where people could take the magazines and extend that on, and then extend that in through the season with whether it's with our online draft guide, the August update, or our in-season product, the Flash update, which I've been doing since 1993. It all builds on itself, and I think it's a great way. It's ended up being a great way to do this.
Well, when was your first fantasy league?
1986.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I think I was 93. So, but yeah, that's awesome. Now, how did you get started? Whose league did you join?
And so it was a friend of ours came back from San Diego. We all lived in Tucson, small group of friends. And he came back and he said, "You guys, I found this thing. We're going to love it." And we did. And so I told you the publication I started was called the TFL Report.
Right.
Evolved out of the league that we called it the Tucson Football League. And I ended up calling the business at some point the Fantasy League Report, right? So, but that's how it started. I was a bit of a graphic designer. And so I started making a league newsletter every week and kind of poking fun at everybody and, providing a little information, tracking the stats, all that kind of stuff, the standings, et cetera. And it's kind of morphed into eventually a business. But I think the key takeaway from all this was, it was like about a week in to the first season when I said to myself, we don't have the information to do this right. We can do this, but man, to really do this right, we need better information than the USA Today, which put out the injury report on Wednesday.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then on Sunday, Bill Belichick is yanking Michael Jackson off the field, but you have no idea why. He was probable. I don't know what's going on. And so, it was really, it was readily apparent that there needed to be more information. Also readily apparent to me that if everybody felt the same way about fantasy that my little group of people did, and I was sure they did, this was going to be a huge business someday. And I should somehow figure out how to make it that. Now, if I keep doing this another 10 years, I might break even, but I think I was not necessarily wrong. I mean, it just, I was not going to let go of this. It's just like, this is like the perfect setup for, how can people not love this once they get involved with it? And I think, the test of time has proven that out. And there's been, obvious evolutions in the electronic portion of all this has really made a lot of it possible. I know when I started the business, I did a printed newsletter. We actually mailed it out every week to subscribers. Then we added a fax service where I was giving updated information from the practice field one day a week to people. They could pick Thursday, Friday, or Saturday and get their updated information. And then about the third year, one of my customers came to me and said, "Hey, have you ever heard of this World Wide Web?" I said, "Yeah, no, tell me more." And then, about 10 minutes into the process of finding out I could send out a million of something for the same price I could send out one of something else, I said, "Wow, this is a direction to go." So, and I think it goes through that, you know, the NFL, you know, was resistant to this at first, you know, kind of viewed it as gambling when gambling was not a really popular thing. And there came a point in the mid 90s, I think 96, 97, where they said, oh, wow, look at these numbers. These people watch every game until every game is over. I mean, they're buying merchandise. They're, you know, they have a great interest. And so they started, you know, really, you know, if not, you know, they stopped resisting, certainly, but maybe even started promoting a little bit the notion of it. And then obviously it's gone on since then. But even in the mid 90s, the development of commissioner platforms on the internet was a huge game changer, right? I mean, you could, you know, instead of sitting there with a pencil and a pen and a newspaper or, you know, however you got your box scores, it was all done for you. That to me was a huge shift, a tectonic shift, you know, so
right.
that allowed people to do this much more easily. And you could be in multiple leagues very easily.
Yeah. And now, and we've gone from sending out faxes to recording TikToks and, you know, having, you know, my daughter's like, oh, you got this many views, you got this many likes, okay, cool, all good. Yeah, it's wild to see the evolution here. I mean, I don't have a radio, TV, film background, and here I am doing podcasts and radio shows constantly. Right. And just it's wild to see that we've been able to do this for a living for a very long time.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I said this, you know, when we did they put me in the FSWA Hall of Fame. I think my speech was about a minute long, and it was basically, wow, you know, when I started doing this, my goal in life was to not look like a guy who just started doing this, right? And I mean, yeah, we might still look like that to some degree, but just the number of platforms and the technology that's allowed us to disseminate our work has become remarkable. And you know, just the technology alone, you know, the phone I'm holding in my hand is 1,000 times more powerful than the $5,000 computer I had when I got started in this business, right? So, I mean, it's just, you know, all these things have worked in our favor, and the software and things that have been developed along the way have been very helpful as well.
Quick note from our Blue Wire folks right here.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, and that's our last quick note. We had lots of quick notes today. I appreciate your indulgence with that. Before we go, Bob, tell everybody quickly how they can get your work, what they can look for at Football Diehards.
Just go there. We have our premium service up and running, the August update. The draft guide actually goes live tomorrow. I'm doing the final work on the first round of that. And it's the usual, you know, look, we all do this. You know, we all think we do a really good job because we do pretty good job of keeping on top of all the news, notes, latest information, adjusting our rankings to reflect that. Try to do that in a responsible way, as Jeff and I talked about earlier in this program, not overreacting, not underreacting, but, you know, understanding the context. And so we have all the same technologies out there that you're going to find, whether it's configurable cheat sheets that, you know, you can dial in directly for your league settings and formats, et cetera, all the way through columns, videos, tons of online content. Now we're getting more into the YouTube channel. I've been doing, you know, live Q&As, I think 2 or 3 times a week. I've almost stopped answering questions on Twitter just to do it on the YouTube because I just enjoy it a hell of a lot more. That's awesome. Twitter at Football Diehard. Not into the TikToks yet. I'm letting Jeff Erickson and Jeff Manns dominate that for a little while, as I understand.
I'm dabbling. Jeff is dominating, unfortunately. Jeff Manns is like, he was an early adopter on that one there.
But good for him on that. But yeah, so hit that up. Hit me up on Twitter at Football Diehard. I'll always answer if you give me a holler. And footballdiehards.com, of course. And the magazines, the Pro Forecast, 32nd straight year of publication. And the Pro Forecast, the cheat sheets, the draft book, some really great articles in the draft book with a bunch of people in the industry, 25 tips and tricks from all the people. And the Football Diehards magazine, I think you'll find some great content in all those. And of course, they all come with access to the website so you can keep the rankings updated, etc. And you can hear me on Sirius, as Jeff said, 3,000 times a day. No, it's so it's at least 6 days a week, and there'll be days where we'll double up in the season. Me and Dempsey are going to do Saturday afternoons on the Fantasy Channel, then do our regular Saturday nights on NFL Radio. So it'll be 5 hours where you can hardly miss us. Sunday pregames with me and Jeff Manns, something we've been doing for a number of years now that we both enjoy immensely. And I'll be on during the week, Football Diehard Show. As always, I'll also be on Fantasy Dirt with Fabiano as well. So check all that out. And your local listings will help you divine all that.
There you go. There you go. Bob, it's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me today. And good luck in your a zillion leagues and good luck on your zillion shows. And I look forward to the next conversation.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
You bet. Bob Harris, everybody. FootballDiehards.com. Thank you, WinBet, for sponsoring us. We have Jake and Joe coming at you tomorrow. Have a great day.